Proverbs chapter 3 again this morning. And thank you again for being here this morning as we open up the Word of God. I will second what Brother Johnson said about the musicians and the music and the specials and the things that we do in this church. I'm thankful for everyone who volunteers in doing that and puts things together and does their best skillfully. And listen, we sometimes make mistakes and we don't always hit the right notes all the time. But I'm thankful for those that put some effort in and work and to have some special music for us. And the idea of the special music, of course, is to just get our minds on the Lord and to turn our hearts to God. And it's not to entertain anybody. It's not to prop anybody up for any special kind of talents. It's to be a blessing to say, let's think on the things of the Lord. So I appreciate that attitude and that spirit and all the work that goes into that. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read two verses here this morning, then we're going to pray and get into the message. Proverbs chapter 3, let's read verse number 5 and 6. Follow along with me as I read it out loud. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to preach this morning simply on the first four words, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer and ask the Lord to bless this time. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. Thank you for the health that you've given us to be able to sit here. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pay attention and have our minds stayed on the Word of God. Lord, I ask that you would use me this morning. Lord, use me as a mouthpiece. Use me as a conduit to for your Holy Spirit to be able to speak to your people, for all those that are here that can hear me this morning. Lord, those that couldn't be here this morning that are listening on live stream, Lord, I pray that you would bless them as well through your Word. And Lord, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for giving us a Bible. Thank you for giving us salvation as a free gift. Lord, thank you for providing a way for us to have heaven as our home and have that assurance here while we walk in this earth. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us this morning, that you'd bless all things. You'd bless the potato bar to follow. But Lord, now that we would stay our hearts on you and for these next few moments, Lord, that we would kind of put aside the things of the world and that we would just concentrate on what you have for us. And Lord, then let us thank you and praise you in all things. Lord, I ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people, Lord, and we would praise you for doing something in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 3, great verses hopefully you've heard, maybe you even have memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trusting in the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And that's where the biggest struggle is going to come in on the idea of trusting in the Lord, is our natural desire to trust in man, whether it's another man or it's ourselves as mankind, to put our trust in the Lord instead of kind of taking the reins and putting that on ourselves. There was a famous preacher in the 1800s. He was an American evangelist, D.L. Moody. His favorite verse was Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust, trusting in the Lord. One of the songs, we didn't sing it this morning, but we sing it in our hymn book. It says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Well, it's a nice song, and I appreciate the song. I enjoy the song, but of course there's another way. We can live in this life without trusting in the Lord. We can live in this life without putting all of our confidence in God. Of course we can. Now, the song is emphasizing the point that we shouldn't. And the Bible does as well. But of course there's another way. We can trust in riches. We can trust in that. If you have enough to trust in, I don't have too much of an issue there. You know, you want to feel secure in the things you're trusting in. So the bank account doesn't have to be it, but it could be. We could trust in our intellect. There's no doubt there's many in here that are more intelligent and smarter than I am. And we can trust in whatever we think we know and whatever we know and whatever we've read online for whatever that's worth, right? Of course, we can trust in our intellect if we want to. We can trust in ourselves. I'm going to do it. Whatever needs to be done, I'm the one that's going to get it done. And I understand there's some things that we should do. We should work hard. We should try to provide for our families. We should pay our bills. We should do those things. But we can trust in ourselves to get us through this life. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. This might sound forward, but I'm going to blame it on the Word of God. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." The Bible is very clear on who and what we should be trusting and what happens when we do it. The Bible is very, you know, the Bible is so clear that people don't like to read it. It is so clear. We say, oh man, there's a lot of hard things in this book. And there are a lot of hard things in this book. We could spend forever talking about, what about this passage? I don't know. We'll let Brother Grimes handle Ezekiel. He already talked about that this morning. Well, we can get in somebody's, what somebody might call the sticky pages of the Bible, right? The ones that I don't know. When's the last time I read through this passage? We can get in the Bible and say, man, there's a lot of things I don't understand. But the things that we do understand are enough to make people say, wow, I don't know about that. This idea of trusting in the Lord, of course we have other options, but it doesn't mean they're good options. David says over and over again in the book of Psalms, he says, trust in the Lord. And in Psalm 119:42, he says, I trust in thy word. I trust in thy word. To trust in the Lord, I'm so thankful that the Lord gave us a book. I'm so thankful he gave us a Bible. Why? Because we can open up the pages of the scriptures and we can read the words of God that he has for us, and we can trust in the Lord. We can trust in his word for us. We can put our confidence in what God has spoken to us about. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Isaiah 55, verse number 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, God speaking, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As far as the heavens are separated from the earth, that's how different God's thoughts are from your thoughts, and God's ways are from our ways. And that's where the disconnect comes in. The disconnect comes in trusting in the Lord sometimes seems so foreign to our mindset that we say, how can I possibly trust in the Lord when everything that I see should be the opposite? Everything that I see should be the other way. Everything that is clear to me and from all of my experience and all of my education and all of my life, I spend all of this time and I'm looking at the situation saying, this has to be the way to do it. This has to be the way forward. This is the only thing that makes sense. And God's up in heaven saying, because you don't have the sense. God's up in heaven looking at things and saying, yes, that is how you would see things. But my ways and my thoughts are so far above your thoughts. And boy, if you don't get anything else this morning from the message, and we have some more time to go, so we're not over yet, all right? If you don't get anything else, just dwell on that. Take that thought and think on that for the next hour and a half that I preach this morning. I'm just kidding. And think on that thought. God's thoughts are not ours. God's ways are not ours. And as we are on this earth and we look up towards the heavens, towards God, that's how far above our thoughts and ways God is. Now, I'm really glad when he clues us in sometimes. But in this life, you need to learn to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning. Thank you if you have come as a visitor. Thank you for coming and encouraging those that invited you to come. But maybe you're a visitor here this morning, you're not saved. Maybe you're not really religious in general. Maybe you've never trusted in the Lord for salvation It seems like a foreign concept. Maybe you think that religion has taken care of those things for you. But I'd like to say this morning that you do need to trust in the Lord. You do need to trust in the Lord yourself as an individual, as someone with a creator. You need to speak with him. You need to trust him. I'd like to say this. You need to trust in his promises. You need to trust in his promises. The Bible is full of promises. The Bible says that it's impossible for God to lie. And in this book, he has given us many things. And we can hold true to those. We can hold true to those things that he's given us in his word. And we can know that God hasn't just said something to say it. But when God says that, it has meaning, it has purpose. On this earth, you and I can say things well-intended and sometimes maybe not come through with what we tried to promise or what we tried to say, or we did our best efforts, but we just fell short. And that can be disappointing on this side. But God and his promises, he does not disappoint. God comes through on his promises. God comes through on what he says. And when in the scriptures, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in his payment for your sin, the Bible has some great promises for you. The first one, the Bible says, is for the wages of sin is death. So now, wait a minute. You just said good promise. That doesn't sound like a good promise. It's a promise in the scriptures that someday we are all going to die. The promise in the scriptures is, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, to judgment. I know they're working on all kinds of crazy cures for everything. They're constantly working on something. But they're not going to be able to stop death. Because the death is not a medical problem. It's a sin problem. That's why our bodies are constantly, we're breaking down. We're not getting better. Now, I understand in our own personal health, it can be like this sometimes. But in general, we're headed on a downward slope. We're headed towards the grave. And that's because of sin. We're going to die because of sin. But not only physically we're going to die because of sin, but we're going to spiritually die because of sin. Because of sin, there is a death. The Bible says we have a physical death, but we have a spiritual death. And without Jesus Christ, it's called the second death. And without a Savior, that second death is guaranteed spiritually. The second part of that verse, that's in Romans 6:23. The second part of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first part of the verse says, there's death and it's coming. Sin earns you death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good part. The good part is, we're all going, unless the Lord comes back first, we're all going to at some point take our last breath on this earth. But that spiritual second death, the Bible says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord, that we can skip that part. We can have everlasting life. The spiritual side can be everlasting life instead of a second death. And thank God for that. It's a gift given by God. He says in John 14:6, Jesus Christ says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said it was through him. Now, religion takes Christ and then builds up this whole system around it to say, if you just do all the stuff we tell you to do, then Jesus Christ will accept you and you'll get in. But the only problem with that is Jesus Christ didn't say that. Man said it. Why? Because it makes a lot of sense to us. If you're good, you get rewarded. If you are nice, you get presents under the tree. If you're naughty, I don't know, the lump of coal, that's what we're supposed to get. If we're naughty, we don't get it. If you work your best and you do everything you can at the job, someone at some point is supposed to recognize that, right? Isn't that why we do it? And you get paid and you want to get paid more. So what do? You try to put forth your best because we probably all love money. Put forth our best, we get rewarded. That's how our mind works. But God says, my mind's not like your mind. God said, I look down at you and in your sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I look down and see you in your sin, and to gain the righteousness of heaven, you can't do it. You're condemned. He says, but you know what I'll do? I'll send my son as a gift so that you can have eternal life, so that he can make the payment for sin. And you, through Jesus Christ's righteousness, can have salvation, not in your own attempts at righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ said this also in John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a promise. Except a man be born again. He's talking to a man, Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, I'm born again. All I know is I was born of my mother. How are we gonna duplicate that? And Jesus Christ explains it to him. He says, no, it's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual. We're born into this world, and we're born into sin. We choose to sin. We actually gravitate towards it. We gravitate towards disobedience. And God says, I will not dwell with sin. And so in our condemnation of being a sinner, Jesus Christ paved a way for you to have his righteousness for salvation. And that when you accept Jesus Christ, spiritually, you're born again of God, but this time without sin. And so when that happens, we are born again. And when we die, that seed lasts forever. That's of God. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good promise. A good promise that calling upon God for salvation, calling upon the Lord to say, save us, Lord, from our sin. My faith and my trust is in you. He says, if you call upon me, I'll save you. That's the requirement. Well, I probably have to be a pretty good person, and I don't know, I've done some things in my past, or I have this kind of background, or here's the requirement. You call upon him in faith, receiving the free gift that God offers to you of salvation through Jesus Christ. You call upon him, you ask him to receive him, and he says, I'll save you. That's the requirement. What's the requirement? Show up. Right? That's the requirement. The requirement is you bow your heart and you bow your pride and you say, Lord, I need a Savior. Everything else that I was trusting in, good works, religion, education, whatever, to get me to a better place, whatever that is I was trusting in, Lord, I don't trust in that. I can't trust in that. The scripture says that I can't get there that way. It's through Jesus Christ and him alone. We reject that. We accept and receive Christ. And God says, that, I'll take that. I'll take you just as you are and save you. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. What does it take? It takes trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord for salvation. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the offer of the Lord is this morning to you? Come. Come. Come and accept the free gift that I offer. The death of Jesus Christ didn't cover the sin of the world as a blanket, meaning, well, he died, so we're okay. No, he died, and what do we have to do? We have to accept what Christ did for us. Amen. And if we do that, then thank God we can say through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am okay. Thank God, not of anything that I could have done, but what he has done. And with his mercy, he has saved us. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to trust him. Amen. You need to trust him. Don't trust me. Trust the Lord. Trust his word. Trust the truth of the scriptures for salvation. You need to trust in the Lord. But maybe you are saved here this morning. And if you're saved here this morning, you still need to trust in the Lord. You still need to trust in the Lord. Turn back to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. The main thrust here this morning of the message will be to those that are saved, those that understand salvation. You have called upon the Lord for salvation, and now you're here this morning because we're going to open up the scriptures, and we want the Lord to continue to speak to us and to lead us and to guide us. We also need to trust in the Lord, those that are saved and born again. Our trust doesn't stop in salvation, although that's the only place to start. But it should continue on with what the Lord has for us in this life. We're going to, in Genesis chapter 37, we're going to look at, not entirely, but we're going to look at the life of Joseph. If you remember the story of Joseph, he starts out here at the very beginning, and we realize that he's a favorite. He's daddy's favorite because he's the youngest. Some of you are thinking, I am the youngest. That's what you're thinking. You're like, and I was the favorite. Well, why wouldn't I be the favorite, right? And some of us that are older, we're going, the favorites, right? This is as old as the scriptures, all right? This is as old as the scriptures. And Joseph is a great example of someone that trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord and what God was doing. Joseph was able at the very end, especially, to see, man, God's ways are above my ways, and God does know best, and God does have things planned for my life. He does have this direction for my life that is worth trusting. And it's easy to say that at the end, isn't it? I mean, if you know the story of Joseph in the Bible, you know what happens. He becomes like the second in charge over all Egypt. I mean, that's pretty good. And he's serving the Lord, and his parents get to come to him, and he gets to take care of him, and Pharaoh's just super nice to him and gives him all kinds of stuff that he ever could possibly want to take care of his family. I mean, it ends up pretty good. But along the way, it's a little bumpy. Right? So, of course, at the end, when we're sitting there and everything's great, we're going, man, I knew what God was doing the whole time. Of course my confidence was in the Lord. No, not all the time. There's times we can be smiling. You might be sitting here this morning, you're smiling at me, and you're like, the Lord can't be trusted. Why? Because his ways are so far above our ways that our faith has to be in the Lord in spite of what we're seeing, in spite of what we're thinking, in spite of how we would draw it up. We have to learn to trust in the Lord no matter what. Genesis chapter 37. I like to say this as we're going to start to read a couple verses here. You're going to need to trust in the Lord with the people in your life. We're going to get the ugly one out of the way first. All right? What's that? People. You say, wow, you sound pessimistic. Maybe you haven't been around people much. I'm just going to help you out. All right? You're going to have to trust in the Lord with the people that God puts in your life. The people that God puts in your life. Look here in Genesis 37 and verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. It's not recommended, by the way, all right? Not everything that famous people do in the Bible is recommended. All right, so here's Joseph. He's the favorite over all the other ones because that he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Skip over to verse number 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here I am. And he said, go, I pray thee, See whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So here is Joseph's father, Jacob. He's played some favorites, and he has many boys here. And Joseph is the favorite, and Joseph has to bear some of the brunt. Now, when you look at this here, it's the scripture really is kind of comical when you look at it. Joseph seems to be a tattletale. He seems to be the youngest. He seems to be a tattletale. He's always telling on his brothers and what they don't do good. And Joseph says, I like this inside intel. And so what he does, he says, hey, your brothers are feeding the sheep. They're out in Shechem. Go check on them, and you come tell me what they're doing. Right? So he's going to go trot out there in his fancy coat, and he's going to tell on his brothers when he gets back. And his brothers are like, man, this kid, right? And that's what they're thinking. And so I'd like to say this to maybe a certain demographic in here, but people in your life that you have to trust the Lord with, you have to trust the Lord with your parents. Why? Because Jacob's father was setting him up in this not really favorable situation. And yet the Lord had blessed Joseph with a father like Jacob. We know Jacob had a lot of good qualities. And he also trusted in the Lord. And he also went through some things in his life. And he also tried to direct his boys towards the Lord. But you're going to have to trust the Lord with your parents, because they're not always going to do everything you think they should do. And just so you know, there are no perfect parents. And someday, if the Lord allows you, young person, to be a parent, you're going to join the rest of the ranks of us as another not perfect parent. I know right now it seems like you have it all figured out. I did. I was the best parent until I had children. And then I realized, and even now, I don't really know what I'm doing. Yeah. Right? Parents, you ever do that? Like you wake up the next day and you go, I still don't know what I'm doing. And then you say, all right, well, the first one, he's totally messed up. All right? Because I messed that up. I'm pointing to my firstborn, all right? Well, all right, good try. Let's have another one, all right? And then you have another one and you go, I don't really know what I'm doing. And in our case, we were like, well, let's try a third. And we were like, nope. Then we had a fourth. Well, what happens? As a parent, you say, I don't know what I'm doing all the time. And even as a parent, we need to trust in the Lord. But as children, you need to trust in the Lord that God gave you the parents that he has for you. And you have to trust the Lord that they are doing what's best for you. And what happens? Even in difficult times, when parents can be wrong and when parents can make a wrong decision, you say, Lord, I'm trusting you and I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to honor and obey. You're going to have to do that. Because Joseph had a father that was putting him in some tight spots here. But that wasn't it for Joseph. There was somebody else. There's another person that he had to trust in the Lord with, and that was Potiphar's wife. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, I'm sorry I don't have the time to go through it all, but Potiphar's wife was not a nice lady, all right? Genesis chapter 39, either that or maybe she was too nice, depends on how you look at it. Genesis 39 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master, this is Joseph now, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And in verse number 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. There's a good lesson here. For ladies and men, don't put yourself in a situation like this. And he caught him, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. She lied. She set him up to lie about him. And it put him in a bad spot. And it put him in a place where he didn't think he was going to end up. And You know what? There's people in your life, and not every person that's going to come into your life is going to do the right thing by you or the right thing by God. And I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish people were more honest. I wish people would take responsibility for themselves. I wish people could keep their mouths shut and not talk nonsense about people. But some people just aren't. They're not going to. And we might be talking about Christians, because Christians some don't always do the right thing, and especially those that don't have a compass, or they have an agenda, and it's sometimes it's not fun. But we need to trust in the Lord and say, Lord, all right, I'm in this situation, and I'm trusting in you to help get me through it. I'm trusting in you to help me respond in the right way, the way that I should, the way that you would want me to, Lord, and keep moving. Joseph had to deal with his parents. He had to deal with Potiphar's wife. He had to deal with prisoners. Why? Because the little stunt with Potiphar's wife put him in prison. And in Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 12, Genesis chapter 40 and verse 12, let me just tell you the story here. What happens is he's in prison, and these two men that get on the wrong side of Pharaoh, they end up going to prison, and they have these dreams, and Joseph is in, he is now the head over the prison, and he's watching over all the prisoners, although he's captive himself. And they have these dreams, and Joseph says, man, the Lord, he's the one that can interpret those dreams. And so he does interpret the dreams for these prisoners, and for one of the prisoners, it's a good dream, and for the other prisoner, it's a bad dream. All right, and one of them, Pharaoh brings out of prison and kills him, and the other one he brings out of prison and gives him his job back. And the men are, well, at least one of the men is excited about it. And so he says, hey, when you get out of here, don't forget me. That's what Joseph says to the butler. When you get out of here, don't forget about me. I've been lied about and cheated about, and I'm in here unjustly. Don't forget to say something to Pharaoh about me. And what's the Bible say? The Bible says in verse number 23, look what the Bible says, 40, 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I mean, as soon as his free foot hit the ground, right? And he got to put his clothes back on and go before Pharaoh and have an important job in front of the king, he forgot all about Joseph. He just didn't come through. People are like that sometimes. And it might not seem fair, but God knows. God knows. God knows who's in our life. God knows what decisions other people make. God hasn't forgotten us because we have trouble with people. In general, you're always going to have trouble with some person or some people. Whether you live for God or live like the devil, someone's going to have something to say negative about you. So you might as well live for God. If you're going to take it one way or the other, then have God on your side and take it. But we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. Some people in your life will be great disappointments. Some people in your life will be great encouragement to you. It's not all bad. It's not all bad when Pharaoh finally had a dream himself and the butler goes, oh, I had a dream one time. That was 2 years earlier. That's how long he forgot. And he says, I know a guy that can tell you about your dreams, Pharaoh. Where is he? He's in prison. What are you talking about? Yeah, I met him when I was there. We're good, right? You know? But I met him there. And he comes out and God reveals to him Pharaoh's dream, reveals to Joseph Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh exalts him to be second in command. He says, I don't even need to know anything that's going on in my kingdom because you have it all under control. Nobody does anything without you knowing, Joseph. And he bumps him up and he says to his other Egyptians, he says, is there anyone like Joseph where the Spirit of God dwells? I mean, it was a blessing. And he was a blessing to him. He was an encouragement to him. It's not all bad. But we can learn from every relationship with people how God wants you to be. And we just have to trust the Lord with that. We have to trust the Lord with that. Listen, we don't treat people based on how we're treated. We treat people based on how we should treat people. And sometimes that's difficult. But God can help. You need to trust Him with the people that God puts in your life. All right, let me say this secondly. If you're saved, you need to trust in the Lord with your plans. With your plans. I mean, most people have some type of plans working. Right? Some type of idea of how we want things to go. And so we need to learn how to trust the Lord with our plans. Go back to chapter 37 of Genesis. Genesis 37, 23. This is after the father has told Joseph to go check on your brothers. And it came to pass when Joseph was come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Well, we don't gain anything except we get rid of the pest. But we don't gain anything. He says, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were contented. So what happens? They said, they're sitting there, they take the coat off him, they throw him down in a pit, and they're sitting around eating lunch. They're talking about taking care of the sheep. And Judah says, wait a minute. If we kill him or leave him in here, that doesn't do us any good. You know what we should do? Let's sell him. We don't want to kill him. He's our brother. Let's sell him into slavery. That was like their great concocted plan. And the other 10 brothers are sitting around there going, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, let's do that. And so they sell him into slavery. What happened? My guess is that was not in Joseph's plans. That was not in Joseph's dreams. Right? Because Joseph had dreams. We're not going to read it, but earlier in the story, that's one of the reasons why the brothers were like so annoyed with Joseph, is he had these dreams that basically he was standing there and the whole family was bowing down to him. The little one. The runt. The one in the fancy coat. Right? He's had these dreams and they said, man, this kid. And they sell him into slavery. I mean, you want to talk about family troubles, right? Sell him into slavery. Why? What happened? There was Joseph, a young man, trying to follow the Lord. And God was giving him these dreams, and he didn't even really understand everything. He's just telling his father and his brothers about this dream. He had these ideas, and his brothers said, no, thanks. We're going to take this. We're going to change this a little bit. You know what happened? The Lord allowed that to happen. And the Lord allowed that to happen, and Joseph, I'm sure, as he's in the pit and then taken out of the pit, oh, thanks, guys. No, we're not letting you out of the pit. We're selling you to these strangers. And they're going to take you down and sell you again into slavery. I'm sure on the camel ride down, he was not thinking that this is what the dreams meant when God was speaking to him. This isn't how he would have done it. How could God have this for me in my life? That's probably what he was thinking. You know, I learned a long time ago that I need to not get too attached to my dreams. If I'm going to follow the Lord, I don't need to be too attached to my dreams and my plans. Why? Because God's plans and dreams are often different. I got out of high school, I had a scholarship to go to community college for 2 years. So I went there and started to take a bunch of electives because I was going to go to college for education. I don't know what I was going to teach. I still have no idea what I was going to teach. But the plan was to do that. So I went and took all the stuff that they say you have to take, all the social sciences, fulfill all the extra, we'll just call it stuff, all the extra junk that they say you have to take, right? And so you go there. And so I went and started doing that. And then you know what the Lord did? The Lord said, nope, I'm going to call you. And my plan for you is to go to Bible school. And so from Western Pennsylvania down to Florida, That's what it was. That's the plan the Lord had for me. And I mean, between a career, between a spouse, I had plans. And by the time I got down to Bible school, I was turning 20 years old, and I was still in, I was currently reenlisted in the all boys, girls hating club. All right, that's where I was. I said, I'm here for school for 3 years, no girls, or nothing but trouble. And then this lovely lady over here walks by, and I say to those standing around me, wow, I will get to know that girl. Literally the words I said, I will get to know that girl. And then I went back to the Lord and said, I'm just kidding, Lord. I'm just kidding. What happened? I have plans. The Lord changed those plans. What church to go to and where to be, where to live, right? God's plans are the best plans. You need to trust in the Lord with your plans. Yes, it's good to say, all right, I think I'm going to do this thing with my life. I think this is what the Lord has for me in my life. But be flexible, because the best thing to do with your life is what God wants you to do in your life. You don't have to worry. Not all of you are going to call to be preachers like me. That's just how the Lord had it for me. And thank God, I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. I'm thankful for the plans that He has for my life. The Lord has been good to me. But the Lord has something, plans for your life as well. And you know what you need to do? Trust Him with your plans. Trust Him with you. Seek after the Lord with what He has for your life. Seek after the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do what He wants you to do. Go where He wants you to go. Take the job He wants you to take. Follow the Lord and trust Him. Well, if I don't do this and this and this other thing, then I'll just never be able to live in this life. People say all kinds of dumb stuff. My son's 18 years old, about to be 19 years old. We've lived on a single income for 19 years. And I'm putting on weight. I'm not getting skinnier. What does that mean? God can provide. God can provide when you do what He wants. Just trust Him with your plans. Give them over to Him and say, Lord, I trust You with what You want me to do, and I want to follow You in my life. It's the best thing to do. Trust the Lord with your plans. Joseph says, this isn't going right. And yet God had a hand in it. God had a hand in it. Not only do you have to trust Him with the people in your life, trust Him with your plans, you need to trust Him with your preparation. With your preparation. Look in Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Joseph gets sold. 39:1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had, or all that he did, to prosper in his hand. The Lord says that Joseph was prospering, yet he was a slave. That doesn't fit into our vocabulary. That doesn't fit into our idea of being prosperous, but it was in God's idea. And what was it for? It was preparation. Look in verse 19. And it came to pass, this is after Potiphar's wife pulled her tricks, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did a servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. What happened? He says, well, I'm a slave, but God has allowed me to prosper. And yes, I'm a slave. I'm not free. I'm not with my family, but I'm here. And this is what God has for me. And then Potiphar's wife lies about him. And then he ends up in prison. And he ends up in prison and God gives him favor, but he's still in prison. And he's in prison and he's over the prisoners, but he's there. And what is Joseph? If Joseph was human at all, which he was, he had to be thinking, I don't understand. I don't understand how this is my life. My brothers, they didn't seem to care at all about serving you, God. They didn't seem, they sold me into slavery. Their other option was to kill me. And they weren't righteous. And yet, here he is. The brothers are taking care of the sheep. They've perpetrated the lie to dad. He believes it. They're just hanging out now. And Joseph says, but here I am. We have to trust the Lord with your preparation. Why? Because the plans and the things that God wants you to do for him, they take some preparation. They take some preparation. I wish I could just read the Bible and then it just changed everything about me and I could make the decisions that I'm going to live this way and make these decisions and change myself here and improve myself over here and be better in certain circumstances. But the reality is, I'm too lazy to do that. The reality is, that seems like too much work. Because I have some negative qualities that would be better served for me to get rid of those so that I could serve the Lord. And the Lord says, I know you have those, so I'm going to help you out. I'm going to prepare you along the way for what I want you to do. And you can't avoid the preparation. You can't. Anyone that's ever made a meal, you understand, you don't just look in the refrigerator and then will it onto the dinner plate. What happens? There's preparation that happens. You have to take all of those things and put it all together to make it into, Lord willing, something edible that you put on the plate. It takes preparation. It takes time. It takes many things to do that, and God understands. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or you're 80. You're not the finished product that the Lord is hoping you become. The Lord desires through his word to prepare you for his glory. Say, in what? In the ups, in the downs, sometimes in the upside downs. The Lord desires that you be more like him. Joseph was still serving the Lord. He was still following after the Lord. Pharaoh, after he pulls him out of prison, like I mentioned, says, the Spirit of God is in this man. It was evident in his efforts to serve God. But Joseph had a lot of years. You know what happens when Joseph's 17 years old, we read, he gets the fancy coat, and it appears his dad sends him out to his brothers. You know how old he is when Pharaoh finally elevates him? He's 30. Yeah, do the math. I can't, but you can. Do the math. Carry the one, right? And what happens? God is taking his time in preparation of Joseph. He's preparing his attitude. He's preparing his life. He's preparing his walk with God. He's preparing all these things in his life. And yet Joseph, I'm sure at times, didn't appreciate it and didn't understand what was going on. The reality is, you have been prepared in your life to serve God the way that he wants you to serve him today. And the preparation of today is so that you can serve God tomorrow. God prepares you to do what he wants of you to do, and he doesn't leave you short-handed. He doesn't leave you without experience. Say, but you don't know my life. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't know everything that's gone on in your life. But God uses those things to prepare you for what he wants of you in your life. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. God uses everything in our lives for the betterment. of you. God uses everything in your life. When you trust God, He uses all of that to say, I'll use that for my honor and glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to witness to someone, to be a friend to someone, to be able to comfort somebody. God uses everything in your life so that you can be what He desires of you. He doesn't leave you short. I'd like to say this lastly. You're going to have to trust in the Lord with your purpose. With your purpose. In the sports world, and I'm sure this has gone in other parts of the world, but they say when a sports team gets together and they start putting together game plans and everything, it says, trust the process. Right? Have you heard that? We're going to trust the process. Okay, it's going to be day by day and step by step, or the sports analogy, we're going to go one play at a time, and we're going to do all these things, and we're just going to trust the process that when we get to the end, the goal is going to be what we want it to be. And the Lord, when you trust in the Lord and walk day by day with God, He does have a purpose for you. Genesis 45, after all the hard things, after the people in Joseph's life that made things difficult, after being sold into slavery and being under Potiphar and being lied about and have his character damaged, and after he ends up in prison after that, and he's in prison for 2 more years and forgotten about before Pharaoh elevates him. Going through all of those different things, Joseph starts to understand things as the Lord reveals it to him. Much later, Genesis 45 and verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. This is years later. There's a famine in the land. And Joseph's brothers come down to Egypt, where now he's the big shot. And they're going to buy food, and they don't even know who he is now. It's been so many years, they don't recognize him. I'm sure he's had the things of Egypt kind of, he looks different probably. He can speak the Egyptian language as well as his own. And so they don't even know who he is. And Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers now. And he says, now therefore, verse 5, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. He says in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Look in chapter 50. Chapter 50, again, this is after Joseph's and the boys, his brothers, after their fathers died, and the boys are still worried about it, that Joseph's going to have a long memory about this being sold into slavery thing. And they send somebody to Joseph, and they say, hey, by the way, Dad said, don't be hard on the boys. Right? Don't be hard on them. They're sorry. They're real sorry. Genesis 50, and look, verse 18. And his brethren went also and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. They did bow down to him, by the way, several times. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He says, wait a minute, I understand better now. There might have been a time when I was working as a slave, and I was thinking about the freedom I once had. There might have been a time where if I'd have had the power, I'd have exacted some revenge. I'd have changed my own circumstances if God said I could. I'd have gotten myself out of this position. I'd have gotten myself away from these people. I'd have done something different in my life because, well, man, I seem to know better than God. I mean, my plans seem to be a lot better for me. He says, am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And he says, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you, because I have the power to do it. And this is what God has done. the purpose that God had for Joseph's life was to put him in a place where it wasn't his plans. It wasn't around the people that he preferred to be around. It wasn't the preparation that he thought he was going to need. I mean, what kind of preparation do I need to stand in front of people and have them bow down to me? I need some good posture. I need another fancy coat so that I can stand. I mean, what kind of preparation do I need for people to worship me? The Lord said, more than you think. It wasn't the preparation Joseph was going to figure out for himself. This wasn't everything that he thought he was going to do. Lord, what's my purpose? I had these dreams. Seems like you lied to me all these years ago. What purpose do I have in this life? God says, I have a purpose for you. Continue to be faithful. Continue to trust in me. Many years previous to Joseph's father, grandfather, great-grandfather, Abraham, God made a promise and established a covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to give you all this land. I'm going to multiply your children as the sand of the sea. I'm going to make of you great nations. He gave him all these promises in the scriptures. And you know what God literally did with Joseph? God hung all of his promises on one kid, that he was going to be prepared and that he was going to go trust God with his plans. Because what did God do? He raised up Joseph and he put him in a place to save Jacob, the descendant of Abraham, and his brothers, because God was going to bless them as the nations of Israel. God hung it all on one man. Man, what might God be hanging on you or me? What thing does God want to do that might be hanging on us? That if we can trust God, follow God, live after God, take the preparation that God has for us, trusting that he's making us better, to then be able to do something for the Lord? Because the preparation and the plans and the purpose, that's all just part of it. Then God puts on us, this is the purpose I have for you. This is what I want you to do. And then do you know what you and I are supposed to do? Go and do that purpose. What is God, when our life is done, what is God going to be able to say about our life? Is he going to be able to write a book and say, because Mike Sherry hung on, because I gave him the strength to make it and to serve his purpose, that these things were done? Or is he going to say, man, I had so much that I wanted to do, and yet it was no thanks. I can't trust in the Lord. I can't trust you. It just doesn't seem like this isn't the way I'd do it. This isn't the way that I'd write the script. If I wrote the script, I'd be the star of the show. God writes the script where he's the star of the show. And he asks us to get along and get busy. God's purpose for you is a divine purpose. It's one that makes eternal difference. Staying faithful to the Lord and his word, being a witness and a testimony to the lost around you, raising God-fearing children to follow after Christ, and supporting missionaries through the local church and that take the gospel around the globe to those that are unreached. What are these? These are God's purposes that he has for you and for me, and to stand where God wants us to stand and do what God wants us to do, and to strengthen our faith and to trust in the Lord, what he has for our life. Don't give up on God's plans. Don't give up on God's preparation and his purpose. And don't give up on the people that God's placed around you in your life and that are going to walk beside you along the way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He will direct. He will reveal to you. He will show you. Trust in the Lord. It's the best way to go. I would say as a Christian, it's the only way to go. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. In this life, it's the best way. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.